a big black gun. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Beer Dad and Brew podcast. As always, I am your host, the Beer Dad himself, Justin Allen, and I am joined by my co-host. He is Sir Brandon of the Hills of Agora. Brandon, I knew you would like that. I was saving that all day.
I can see you driving home on your way from work and you're like, oh, I got a good one.
It's funny you say that because I was doing that on the way to work this morning. I'm gonna throw something funny in there at Brandon, see how he reacts. So, and I was listening to like 80s on XM or something like that, and there was like a song and it just made me think of like medieval times for some reason. Oh, God, that one movie with Heath Ledger where he's like a knight and it plays all the rock music in the background.
A Knight's Tale.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And it was one of the songs from that, and it reminded me of that. And I was like, all right, Brandon's going to be a knight today. So it's going to be his introduction. So
hey, I'll take it.
That's right. So this is a very special episode. Normally we have a little shtick of where are we, where are we at, what brewery are we visiting? But currently, Brandon, we are not at a brewery. We are on the interwebs. People may or may not see this video, but they'll definitely hear the audio from this. And I'm excited because this episode that we're recording is something different that we've never done before. And I hope the listeners really appreciate this. And I hope that this reaches people that need to hear it. And so we are joined by a very special guest. We have Terrell on with us. What's up, Terrell?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And Terrell is here representing his company. It is an app called Xgluted. And which I think is kind of a cool play on words, you know, obviously with dad jokes and different puns and stuff like that. I definitely catch the pun there, and I think that's really cool. But Xgluted is an app that is for the craft beer aficionados in the world that may have some kind of gluten intolerance or just want to drink cleaner beer and maybe not have so many, gut issues and stuff like that. So they can download this app, and we're going to have you talk all about the app and tell us all about it. So, but we just want to welcome you to the show, and I'm excited for the listeners to hear all about Xgluted and as well as all the different inner workings of gluten-free and gluten-friendly beers. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about the app?
Cool. Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I appreciate you having me come on. So really I can kind of start back kind of several years back. So probably starting in 2010, 2012 timeframe, I got really into craft beer. A group of guys and I, when I was in Dallas, Texas still, we were traveling all around the United States going to breweries. And we actually even started a homebrew team there in Dallas. And so we were competing in the Dallas market and kind of some surrounding cities. And we actually started having a lot of success there. So we started doing that for several years. We would usually take golf trips, fishing trips, whatever it might be. And it would usually be coupled with some sort of brewery visit. So that kind of fast forward to 2015, 2016, 2017, had some health stuff going on, started going to see some specialists. And in 2017 was diagnosed with a really weird kind of rare autoimmunity. It's kind of a really long name. I won't bore people with the name here. And I had to stop having all things kind of fun, all things gluten, dairy, soy, things of that nature. So my issue is not a gastro issue like most people's are with celiac. Mine is more of like a brain type of autoimmunity. So really from that point forward, it was kind of like, well, damn, like craft beer is kind of out the window right now. So went for a while without, you know, being able to find any options. I actually ran into Glutenberg and some of these other national gluten-free brands. And so that kind of went on for several years where I was kind of looking around for good options and good beer options at different breweries. And this last spring break over March, we were actually down at the coast with the kiddos. And I was sitting there at dinner with my wife and thought, I really wish I had an app that would tell me wherever I was, kind of like Yelp, and it would tell me where I could have a good beer at a good brewery that was gluten reduced or gluten free. The one thing that to note about myself, I am not gluten. I don't have to be gluten free from a beer perspective. So I can have gluten reduced, gluten free, but we also knew that there was a lot of folks out there that had to have gluten free, like a celiac, somebody that's suffering from celiac. And so from that point forward, I was like, well, she looked over at me at the dinner table and she was like, well, why don't you just build you an app? And so at first we just built the app specifically for myself. I was just going to use it for my own personal use because I travel a lot for work. And all of a sudden it kind of exploded from there. So we put it out on the market. A lot of folks started downloading it. A lot of folks started utilizing it. And then we had a lot of the traction at first was coming from a lot of the breweries. So we had several breweries reaching out to us going, hey, we don't actually market our beers as gluten reduced or gluten free for the most part, whether they're using the enzyme that we were discussing earlier or they're just dedicated gluten free. And so we actually started utilizing the app to kind of help them market these beers. So that's kind of what we were doing. It's definitely not it's definitely not something we're making money on. It's definitely not something that we're out here trying to monetize. We're just really driving the awareness for these breweries to say, hey, we have a subset of folks, probably a growth market in the industry that you're not tapping into currently. And we can actually bring those folks to your brewery, not because a lot of those folks don't know that you brew a gluten-free or gluten-reduced beverage or drink or beer. So that's kind of how the idea came about. Never expected it to kind of take off to where it is today. And now, right now, we probably have 1,200 breweries signed up today and about 2,500 users on the app. Yeah.
That's pretty impressive for being brand new. And when was the launch date of the app?
So we actually launched first as a web app. So we launched that earlier this year, probably March or April. April, May timeframe. And then we just released the actual native app about 4 or 5 weeks ago. So those folks didn't have to re-sign up. It just kind of transitioned over to the native app. But I would guess it's been going on for about 6 solid months since it's been live, whether it's been a web app or a native app. And that's about the traction we've had.
Awesome. And I think that's just really cool because, you created something that you said like was basically for yourself. And then next thing you know, you have breweries reaching out and stuff like that, because this is a thing. I mean, people don't like I said, for us, like I'm pretty sure if we look back at, although we don't really use Untappd a whole lot, but if we look back at check-ins, pictures, photos, or just last episodes, usually a lot of times in our tagline, I would put what beers we featured and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure we ran across some kind of gluten-friendly or gluten-free beer, just not noticing. Because like you say, a lot of the breweries, they don't advertise it. That's just what they use because they'll use those enzymes, like I said, more so for the clarity and just for cleaner, better tasting beer. And obviously there's still some traditional beers that have to be made and you don't want to put those in there.
For sure.
And that's fine too, but there is a huge market for this. I really truly believe this because when I walk into a BevMo, a Total Wine, they literally have a whole row dedicated to gluten-free, gluten-friendly beers. And that means that there's people out there seeking this stuff out. So I think you came across something that not only you benefit from, but you're also going to be helping a lot of people out there that, like yourself, thought you were out of the craft beer game.
Yeah.
And now they're like, okay, well, I didn't know that there is craft beer that's gluten-free or gluten-friendly. So this is really cool. So I highly encourage everybody to check this app out, and it's available on both Apple and Android, correct?
It is iOS and Google Play Store. So, that was one of the big things is I hit a point in 2017 after getting diagnosed with that was like, well, I'm not going to step foot in a brewery again because I had no idea that they would offer something. Obviously, a lot of breweries now are offering seltzers. That's been kind of a wave of things that's happened over the last several years. But there's definitely been some pioneers out there that started using that Brewers Clerics and Clarity Firm enzyme and really wasn't wanting to push it from a gluten reduced or gluten friendly perspective because of the liability behind it. But are kind of using us as kind of that marketing tool to kind of get the word out. So we've actually had a lot of breweries reach out to us and say, hey, you seem to kind of be the expert in this space. Can you help us build white papers? So we've actually partnered with some of the enzyme manufacturers and kind of help build white papers on that, sent those out, or introduce other brewers like yourself with a brewer that just doesn't know much about the enzyme and is able to use that now. So really just trying to expand that addressable market for them.
That's awesome.
I feel like a lot of breweries now, as you were saying, they kind of use hard seltzer as their gluten-free option. Like if there's somebody that goes up and orders at the bar, hey, do you have anything gluten-free? Sure, we have a seltzer. And you know, that might appeal to some people, but some folks like they want, you know, a beer tasting beer, but that's also gluten-free. So that's awesome that this app can help connect more people with those options. And yeah.
It's really cool. So obviously, you know, prior to our show, I of course downloaded the app. I think I had downloaded it right when it launched. But it's really cool. So when you log in, it'll ask you for your zip code. So that way, you can select a range of what breweries are closest to you, where you can find these. And it's the first time I did it, I was just shocked and astonished to see how many there were either, you know, really close to me or in all my haunts, right? San Diego being one of them. There's a lot of them down in San Diego. But I mean, I'm just scrolling through here. We'll see for the people that are, if they can see it on my camera, but let's see if it doesn't blur it out.
Right. Oh yeah.
There we go. So Black Kilowatt. Plague and Kilowatt. We've been to Kilowatt. Yes. In fact, we went there after doing a show with our good friends at Hopnonymous, but you got Stone and Mike Hess and all this really cool stuff on here. So Seek, shout out to our friends at Seek Beer. Old Dave Ulmer down there in North Park. Great dude. But this is just really cool. Like we don't have anything like this. And, you know, there's beer apps out there. And I'll shout out one of our good friends, Garth Humbert, who has Open Tap app. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but it's a California-based craft beer app. Essentially, it tell you where all the breweries are. It tells you where all the beer events are, all the beer fests, how to buy tickets. You can check things in kind of like Untappd, but less on the rating system. You're just saying, hey, where I'm at, what I'm having. And what's really cool is you can buy beers for each other on there too. So that's a really cool beer app, but this is more of a specialized app for somebody like yourself, or like you mentioned, someone with a celiac disease, that thought they couldn't have craft beer anymore. And guess what? You can. There are places that are either going to have a completely gluten-free beer or they're going to have gluten-friendly. So, you know, obviously you got to be careful with whatever it is your restrictions are. You know, you don't want to have any like flare ups or any kind of reactions or anything like that. But, if you go to a brewery and they tell you something's truly, gluten free, you're going to get a beer experience and not a seltzer experience. So that's kind of cool that you've made this app for people to find, seek out their beers. See, I did that pun right there for my friend Dave down there.
Yeah. And you are definitely in the mecca of it there. I think the only place that has more brewery sign up on the app outside of Austin is exactly right where you are at. I mean, there's hundreds of them right there, and there's probably a lot more. I mean, we're obviously signing up breweries every single day, every single week. But a lot of them are coming from California. Mm.
Is there a functionality currently existing or anything in the works to add like bottle shops or even like stores or anything like that that also have like gluten-free beer options or gluten-friendly?
Yeah, that's definitely phase two. That's just a lot harder of a task to take on, mainly because let's say you're at a restaurant, craft restaurant, whatever it might be, they may have Holidaily, for example, on tap, or they may have Seek on tap for one time, but they may rotate it out. So it's just all about making sure that it's accurate at all times. And then lastly, the reason we started with breweries is one, it was supposed to be a brewery app to start out with. But it was easier to back into who is using from like the manufacturer back into who is using the enzyme. Cause in theory, if someone was using the enzyme, you could assume that they were using it for the clarity part, but also for reducing the gluten. So we were able to contact those breweries and get them set up first. So, that's definitely on the roadmap for sure.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Awesome. And I don't know if this is something you guys are already doing, considering doing. And if not, I think it would be kind of a cool idea. But to pair with your app would be like the breweries that, are signed up with you, that you would have some kind of like a logo that they can put in their door when people walk in. So they know that, hey, I'm in the right place. I saw it on the app. It said, come to Seek. And then maybe you have a sticker for gluten friendly and you have one for completely gluten free that they can either put up on their board next to a certain beer, put it on the door when they walk in, so that they feel safe ordering stuff like that. And they don't feel embarrassed going up to the beer tender and saying, if I order the number 6, is it truly gluten-free?
No doubt. That's that great, great thought there. Definitely in the works. We're trying to come up with kind of a standardized gluten-friendly deal that we can send out when breweries signed up. So it's something they can put in the window.
Awesome. Well, I'm getting awfully thirsty, so I think I'm going to crack a gluten-free beverage myself.
Yeah, me too.
And I think what I'm going to start with here is usually how I always start any brewery or whenever I order like a flight of beers is I usually look for like a Pilsner or a lager or something to that effect. So I'm going to have this Divine Science. They call this the Divine Milsner, and I'm going to say another pun, right? So for those of you that aren't familiar with some of the grains that people use in beers, one of the main ones that I've noticed when it comes to like gluten-free or gluten friendly beers is they're going to use millet. And I'm going to be 100% sure that there's probably millet in this, being that it's called Divine Milsner. So a little play on words. So actually it does. So here's the ingredients of this beer. It's really cool. It says it right on the can. Water, millet, hops, and yeast. So we'll see how this takes, but it basically says a true to lager style, single malt, single hop, and it's unbelievably gluten-free. Comes in at 5.8%. So gluten-free and vegan friendly, it says on the can. So Divine Science Brewing, they are in the city of Tustin, which for those of you in Southern California have no idea where Tustin is. It's a good name because it sounds like Justin, right? But Tustin is going to be south of Anaheim. It's going to be right next to Irvine. So it's like just north of Irvine and kind of south of Anaheim in that area. They call that the 55 corridors where they're at. And there's actually a couple breweries out there in Tustin. So if you're wanting to do some brew hopping, but if you're going to be gluten free, you're probably just going to go to Divine Science in that area, but we can look at the excluded app and find out, right? But Divine Science is a really cool brewery because that's what they based their brewery on, was being gluten free. So here is the can for those of you that are wanting to see what it looks like. So this is the Divine Milsner. So I'm gonna go ahead and pour it, pop it open. This one's for the sound creeps. There you go. Smells like beer.
I had an aunt and uncle that moved out to Tustin. They retired out there. They called it Rustin and Tustin. That's how I always remember the name. But yeah, I'm going to crack into my Glutenberg. I'm going to start with the blonde. I also have a pale ale and an IPA. These guys are based out in Canada. I'm not sure where in Canada. Yeah. Ingredients, water, millet, corn, Demerara sugar, hops, yeast.
Okay.
All right.
So as far as Pilsners go, this smells like a Pilsner, pours like a Pilsner. It's got a nice kind of lacy white head here, and definitely full of carbonation, which is what you want in something like this. I would say clarity wise, going to be more towards like, you know, not like a Coors Light, but more like a Coors Banquet, as far as what the clarity looks like. So I'm going to go ahead and dive in and see what it tastes like. This is actually my first time having this beer. So first time on the show.
Justin, you got to take a look at my glass here and tell me if you.
Huddle Brewing, Las Vegas, Nevada. All right. That is actually very enjoyable. I don't have a problem with that one bit, not at all. And I can tell you that maybe there's a little bit of the oomph from a Pilsner that you're used to when, you know, especially if it's like a good solid German Pilsner. But this is, for me, it's very approachable. It's very light. It's not, doesn't leave any bitter beer taste at all. That's something that's really crazy that I noticed right off the bat. So we talk about this on the show a lot, you know, like when you have a beer, especially a really hoppy beer, and it rinses clean, it's a hard thing to do to accomplish as a brewer, because you have to have that right mix of hops and stuff like that. But for this type of beer, you know, it's what we call a dad's beer, right? A Pilsner, you know, a lager, stuff like that. And this, you could definitely drink a lot of these and probably your stomach will probably thank you because it's probably a little better for you. especially when you look at the ingredients. I mean, there is not a whole lot going on here. It just says water, millet, hops, and yeast. So that's really cool. Have you, Terrell, have you ever had Divine Science?
Yeah. So they're one of the few actual dedicated gluten-free breweries. So I've definitely had them. We work with them. I'm actually drinking one of the other large, if not one of the largest gluten, free dedicated gluten-free breweries, which is Holidaily. Most people know them. They've kind of shifted to cans. They're golden. They're out of Golden, Colorado, but they're like, they're blonde here is what I'm drinking. I don't know if you can see it.
There we go. Favorite. Yeah. I think I saw that on the shelves. Yellow can. Yep.
Yeah.
Daily Brewing.
Yeah. So this one is water, millet, buckwheat, yeast, and hops. So very similar. That's pretty much going to be your go-to gluten-free ingredients there.
Yeah.
I've definitely had some Holidaily before. I didn't remember until you showed me that can, but yeah, I think I had one of their pumpkin ales last fall.
They do have a pumpkin ale. And the other thing I'm drinking here is actually a local brewery. I'm actually wearing one of their shirts. They're actually probably five miles from our house. It's called Vacancy Brewing. So there, I wanted to bring this one in as well, because they're one of the breweries that actually is not dedicated gluten-free, but they do use the enzyme, Justin, that we were talking about earlier, to reduce their beers to a safe levels. This is their hoppy lager, 6.0 from ABV perspective. Right here in Austin, Texas. And really, just again, they utilized it at first for the clarity part and realized once they tested some of their beers that it was underneath the threshold and are actually able in the brewery to show that they're gluten reduced. So
that's awesome. So speaking of Austin, oh, look at that jet lag lager. I like that can.
Super. So I think this one actually just won a gold medal.
Oh, wow.
Just this a few weeks ago. So
awesome. Definitely going to have to put them on my list. Cause Austin is, I would say in Texas, that's probably your craft beer capital.
It is.
There's several great breweries all throughout the state of Texas. So I don't want to discredit, especially of our really good friends down in Houston. We have several breweries down there, friends of the show. And we actually went out there one year and did a couple podcasts with some of the breweries out there. And Houston's got a great beer scene. But Austin is, whenever you talk to the brewers in Texas or people that are into craft beer from Texas, and you ask them, where's all the good breweries at and stuff like that, and they'll tell you Austin is pretty much like Austin and the outside areas around Austin is full of great ones. And I was actually out there. Oh gosh, was it last year? Last year in February. So not this year in February, but the year before, for a cousin's wedding. And we were just outside of Austin, but we had gone to a couple different breweries, trying to think of them offhand. One was it was a coffee shop and a brewery.
I'm going to blank too.
Red Horn. So we went there, and then there was, what was the other, White Stone or something like that. Yeah. So there, we went to a couple of them out there, and every beer I had was really good. Like, I didn't have any complaints, didn't have a bad beer. And of course everybody was like, well, you got to go to Jester King and all this kind of stuff. So a lot of good breweries in Austin, and Austin gets a lot of tourists. You get the, South by Southwest festival that comes out there. And so I know a lot of people that go to that are also craft beer fans. So, definitely, you have a lot to offer in the city of Austin, much like San Diego does. Maybe not on the same level as San Diego, cause that's kind of hard to beat. I think it's like a running joke. It's like, it's kind of a tally, cause some will close, like one closes and four more open kind of thing. So it's like 300 plus in the whole entire county. Like, that's insane. That's definitely a challenge that somebody would need to take on. And I've tried, but I haven't quite gotten there myself. I decided to be one of the 300.
Yeah.
We'll see how that all pans out, but so far so good. So, that's awesome. So definitely check out some beers out in Austin. And if you are gluten intolerant or, need some gluten-friendly beers, you get on the the app and find out where in Austin you can find these beers.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a road, Fitzhugh Road out here south, I guess, west of town that is kind of that brewery road. It has wineries, breweries all the way through it, kind of through the hill country, which is kind of the good scene there. But you must have been up north if you're at Red Horn up in the probably Cedar Park area.
That's exactly where we were at. There's a big lake up there, and that's where my cousin got married at, right on the lake.
Laga Vista Lake.
Yep, that's the one. Yeah, all those names sound familiar once you say them. I'm like, yep, that's where we were at. So we were
Laga Vista Brewing just opened up. It's been a few months now, but they also have gluten reduced beer there if you're listening to this in Austin. But
nice, awesome. That's great. Brandon, what do you think of your Glutenberg beer up there?
It's really good. It doesn't necessarily taste like a blonde. I wouldn't say it hits like super, super to style, but it's really good. It's hitting more like a, like almost like a Pilsner for me, rather than a blonde ale. But yeah, it's really good. And it just feels like there's something sort of almost like pure tasting about it. It doesn't taste like, I feel like I can taste all the ingredients. It just feels like very simple and really good beer. I'm impressed. Yeah. This is not my first, gluten-free beer experience. I used to date a girl that was gluten-free and I'd always be bringing beer over and she'd be like, "Hey, oh, don't forget the Red Bridge." So that was my first gluten-free beer was Red Bridge, and it's been a long time, but I remember it being pretty good.
The industry has advanced quite a bit since Red
Bridge. I bet. And
that's kind of the beauty of driving the awareness, is because I think people think of, when they hear gluten-free beer, they think of Red Bridge, and I would say that more people than not don't care for that one as much as they do some of the craft style beers versus the macro type of produced beers.
Okay. Yeah. So, and Red Bridge, that is the one that comes in like the brown bottles, right? So like a six pack.
Kind like of a red, thing. Like a red bottle. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen those in the stores before. I want to say I saw those at Sprouts, our local grocery store out here. Well, it's the organic grocery store. So a lot of health food and stuff like that. And I remember seeing it in there one time. But I want to talk about this Divine Science beer. Now that I went through the whole can, and actually for the end here, I have another can of this that I'm going to chug, because that's just what I'm going to do. I just want to see how it feels to chug a gluten-free beer.
You're just looking for any excuse.
maybe. But man, it's so clean. And you know, like you said, it just kind of has like a really clean, like pure taste to it. And, you know, maybe it's the simplicity of the ingredients. And obviously, you know, the process, I know that, these types of beers, you know, there's a little bit of a lagering process that needs to be done. And I don't know how different that process is, cause I've never actually attempted to brew a 100% gluten-free beer. I might now, after this show, I might just say, you know what, let's just try it out and see what happens. See if we can make some magic out of this. But it just, I almost feel like you don't feel guilty after drinking this beer. It's different. Like when I crushed some Crispy Boys, you know, four or five deep watching the Chargers lose to the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. that sucked, man. That was terrible. That should have never happened. Are you a Cowboys fan?
Probably the wrong time to tell you I'm a Cowboys fan.
There you go. So that game did not go according to plan. I mean, everyone talked about the Chargers blowing out the Cowboys, and at least here, the media out here, and that did not happen, and we lost, and that was really bad. It was just really, the defense was terrible. The Justin Herbert all of a sudden turned into Phillip Rivers at the very end of the game, and just it was not good. So, but this beer is good. So for those of you that have never been to Divine Science, their tap room is in Tustin. I know that like this one says that it's contract brewed. I know they do a lot of contract brews with other breweries. So this one's contract brewed at Taps. So if you've ever been to Taps Brewing, which is in Tustin, it's really cool. You go there, their food, they usually have really good food truck at Taps, or food in general. But, they're right, down the street from each other. So it kind of makes sense, works out because they have the huge equipment. So they probably do this because this goes into distro and then they have small equipment. I know that that can be a problem when you want to go out to distro, especially if you want to put your beer on the shelves at BevMo. They have huge commitments. So that's probably why they seek out with a contract with some other breweries. And there's nothing wrong with that because that's what I'm doing right now. So, you know, gypsy brewing, contract brewing, whatever you want to call it. Everyone has a different name for it. Hermit brewing. it's all the same. But Divine Science, they have a really cool little tap room there in Tustin. Definitely got to go check these guys out. For those of you that come to California to visit the old House of the Mouse, Tustin's not very far from the House of the Mouse. Plus, there's a ton of breweries in Orange County that are really, really good. So, I mean, you have Monkish, you have Unsung, the Villains Brewing that just opened is from what I understand, really, really cool. I don't know if you've seen it yet, Terrell, but they're really, really cool new brewery that they're theming at the site. It used to be the Modern Times in Anaheim, and they completely remodeled it and changed it. And there's like, you know, the theme, it's Villains. So there's like Freddy and Jason murals, and there's like all their tap handles are like bad guys like Darth Vader and Freddy and all that kind of stuff. And it's a cool gimmick brewery, but their beers are actually really good. And they just won some medals at GABF, and they're like a brand new brewery. So that's a pretty good accomplishment. Wow. Their head brewers formerly from Noble L Works, which is a great brewery that we're mm-hmm. friends with. So I think they're going to do some big things there at Villain. So a lot to check out in Orange County. So we don't always just talk about San Diego, but Divine Science, shout out to you guys. So far, you're 1-for-1 on your gluten-free beers, beer dad approved. So
yeah, that 92780 zip code radius is pretty hot for sure from a brewery and a gluten-free brewery perspective.
Awesome. So I have my next beer that I'm going to have. And this one, the one I'm actually more excited. Like, obviously, I love Pilsners and Lagers. Those are my favorite. But currently, right now, Black Lagers are my jam. But the craft beer craze usually comes back to the haze craze. And so I saw this from Divine Science, and I thought, I better try this because I'm sure the listeners are going to want to hear about this, but this is a 100% gluten-free. It's not just gluten-friendly, gluten-free hazy IPA. So, they don't call it an IPA. They just call it a haze, particle haze. So the ingredients, obviously there's going to be more hops in here than what I just had, but you have water, main ingredient, the old H2O, as Adam Sandler would say, and then millet hops or a millet grain, and then buckwheat. So that's different than the Pilsner, and then hops and yeast. So as far as ingredients go, and of course it doesn't tell you what hops they're using, but as far as ingredients go, the only difference here between the last would be adding the buckwheat to it. So they say it's hazy. We're going to find out because I'm going to pour it right now. There's that little sound bite there. Oh, wow. Definitely can tell there's different hops in this bad boy. Let's see. That looks like a hazy IPA.
Nice. Terrell, as he pours that, I wanted to ask you, would sure. gluten-friendly and reduced gluten, are those like interchangeable terms?
Yeah, so I would say we kind of just trend towards the terminology gluten friendly, but it's definitely more of a gluten removed, gluten reduced category. So the two categories on the app are gluten free and gluten reduced. We just kind of in our marketing use the term gluten friendly. We obviously want folks to be very careful with, you know, what they drink and make sure that if they truly are like a celiac and they wouldn't even be able to typically be around something that has wheat around it or gluten around it. You know, they need to put up their settings on the app to where it is a gluten-free only, not the gluten reduced.
Got it. That's cool that you have that setting too, where you can sort of just like mute the like reduced gluten if you have to be super strict. And yeah, That's awesome. Yeah, I was always kind of curious because I had seen like gluten friendly kind of popping up recently. And I hadn't really encountered that term. So I was like, I think that's the same as reduce, but
I think people more or less use it from a marketing perspective. But that from a technical perspective, it would definitely be gluten free is basically the ingredients we're talking about today wouldn't have barley in it at all. Mm-hmm. My way of explaining it is that it can have barley in it with the enzyme for the gluten reduced. So a lot of beer people drink the gluten reduced because it tastes like a traditional beer because it's still using barley and the traditional ingredients. And then they're essentially removing the gluten in the fermentation process or whatever process at the end. But again, somebody that has like severe celiac would definitely not want to go down that road. I will say full disclosure, I do know several celiac folks that do drink gluten reduced beer because they are under the parts per million threshold for being USDA or whatever, you know, gluten free. They're just not in a gluten free dedicated facility.
Got it.
Awesome.
How's that beer, Justin?
Particle Haze from Divine Science. The aroma that you get on this, the first thing that you're going to say, is you would say, Brandon, because you drink, have drank a lot of hazies just like myself. First thing you're going to say is that it has a super dank aroma, right? They're simulating here your traditional like double dry hopped hazy IPA. It does have a good floral aroma that you would be familiar with, you know, on a hazy. The flavor though is total like almost like a mind fuck, excuse my language, but it's it's different. It's really light. So looking at it, I mean, you can kind of see the lighting's not that great in here with this blur thing on the background, but looking at it, it looks like a traditional hazy IPA. I mean, it's super almost like mustardy, creamy yellow color. Again, floral aroma. And so you're like, okay, here I'm used to this type of beer, right? Because it's mass produced right now because the haze craze is still around. But then when you go to take a drink, it's like it's hard to describe. It doesn't have that thick, pillowy mouthfeel that a lot of the hazies have. It drinks like the Pilsner. It's really light. And I almost compare it to, for those of you that have ever had it from Firestone Walker, the Flyjack hazy IPA that they make, which is a...
the low-cal.
Low-cal hazy IPA. So I almost get that vibe off of this, maybe with a little bit more flavor, because I know Flyjack is like, oh man, it's weird. It's like you're drinking it and you're like, where's the oomph to my hazy IPA, right? Yeah, so I don't want to say it's like that because it's definitely not on that status. It's just easy drinking. So this could actually be really cool for somebody that says, you know, I like the idea of hazy IPAs and I like the hoppiness and the, you know, I like that kind of creaminess to it, but it's super heavy, right? You can drink one can or one pint and you're like, oh man, I feel bloated because of, you know, a lot of times I'll throw like, you know, a lot of sugar in there to get that pillowy mouthfeel and that creaminess to it. And this, it's cleaner and you're getting some flavor there, but it's super light and easy drinking. So I think hazy IPA people that like it, they just don't want that heaviness to it. They might actually dig something like this. So I think Divine Science is onto something. I actually dig it. It's different. I could drink a 4-pack of this out by the pool and not feel nasty like you do when you drink a 4-pack of hazy IPAs and you get all that sugar in your system and you're just like, oh my God. This is cool. Have you ever had this particular beer?
I have not. No, I've not had that one.
Yeah, it's really good. I'll see if maybe we can send you some so you can try it. Different, very different. So
I need a good excuse to get to California. So
there you go. That sounds like a business trip. It is in the works. So did you pour something different or are you on the same thing over there?
I just poured a pale ale from Glutenberg. It's really good. It's got a sweetness to it that's very interesting. But yeah, other than that, I mean, it tastes really like a pale ale. I mean, you're not really, you know, taking a hit in terms of like, if you order this, you know, you're going to get pretty much a standard good tasting pale ale. But yeah, it's pretty good.
Awesome.
Huh. I would say the thing that people started to shy away from is sorghum. I don't know if you've ever brewed with sorghum or whatever, have the need to, but I think a lot of those like Red Bridge beers and all that in the very early days, they had sorghum in them. Yeah. And I don't think people like that tangy, I don't know how to describe it, that tangy aftertaste of sorghum. Mm-hmm. So when people think of gluten-free beer, they, like I said earlier, they immediately think of like a Red Bridge, which has that weird aftertaste. A lot of these breweries now, obviously Glutenberg's been doing it for a while, Holidaily, New Planet, all these Divine Science, Ghostfish is a big one as well. They typically don't use the sorghum from what I've seen, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. And so what he's describing for the listeners that are kind of curious, think of it like what's that stuff called? Like saccharum, the stuff that they would put in Diet Coke.
Yeah, the artificial sweetener.
Yeah, right? So you'd get that really stuff. Aspartame. Thank you. Yep. So you get that really bitter, like back end flavor, you know, lingering on your tongue after you take a drink of a Diet Coke. You know, they've come a long way in, I'd say, the diet soda realm, because now instead of Diet Coke, they have like Coke Zero and Pepsi Max and all these different things. And they're using like the stevia sweeteners and stuff like that. And so you're not getting that chemical aftertaste anymore. They still say it's still whatever, not good for you, but I know the debate's up for that. But I mean, there's people that just can't drink sugary things. And so I think it's great that there are alternatives, for those folks, you know, like diabetics and whatnot, that they have an alternative for their Coke and their Pepsi and stuff. And so, and also at the same token, now we have something that is good for, in the beer realm for people that can't have, you know, certain types of ingredients that would set off some kind of gluten intolerance, you know, and what, you know, what you were speaking of before, where I think those first initial gluten-free beers, you know, they were using, you know, essentially, something that's not natural, that you shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't be drinking it technically. It's not like it's unhealthy to drink it, but it does linger and leave an aftertaste. So it's cool that, you know, the breweries have kind of figured this out and, you know, basically turned it into a science, if you will, like divine science. Cause I mean, these two beers are, I have no complaints. Are they my favorite beers in the world? You know, that's probably not going to be the case, because I have, you know, some of my favorite beers that I've had throughout the years. Are they beers that I would drink again? Yes, 100%. Would I go visit the brewery? Yes, 100%. And would I recommend the beers to people? Yes, 100%. So that means that they're doing a good job. So Divine Science and Tustin, go visit them. Especially this, I'm telling you, this particle haze is like, it's weird. It's messing with my head right now. It's hard to describe. I just feel like you could drink a bunch of these and not like feel all bloated and nasty.
I know. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there's like
where I'm going.
Yeah. There's like no bloat to it whatsoever. But, Terrell, have you noticed that, like, are there any, like limitations to the styles that you could brew for a gluten-free beer?
Typically, like, there, for example, not to continue name dropping, but there's a really large brewery here in Austin called Austin Beer Works. It's one of the more, I guess, famous breweries here. I don't know if they distribute outside of here yet, out of this area. But kind of the way they put it for their beers is, if you can see through it, it's safe to drink. Mm-hmm. So they have their hazies, they have their stouts, they have a lot of those different type of seasonal beers. But typically, if you can see through it, you would want to ask some questions. The good part about Divine Science and Ghostfish and Holidaily and all that is that you already know that the ingredients put in it is gluten-free. So that's kind of where the app kind of has the filtering to say, hey, well, if you go here and it's see-through, they're likely using the enzyme because it's that clarity firm.
Got it. Yeah. I just noticed on Untappd, like, there was just so many different styles and like gluten-free that, yeah, I was surprised, but yeah.
Yeah. Typically. Yeah. I don't know. There's definitely different ways of doing it. People are getting very creative, which is awesome. It's kind of innovating the space. But again, what I've noticed is that unless you're a dedicated gluten-free brewery, you're typically going to want to shy away from anything you cannot see through, stouts and even some sours. I think that's a misconception too. People think that sours are gluten-free because they think they trend more towards a cider seltzer, maybe family. I don't know why, but that's, again, that's a pretty big misconception. You definitely want to ask questions about sours. I've actually had bartenders at places I won't name say, oh yeah, we have gluten-free beer, they're sours, and they're not the same at all. Yeah, sours are usually not gluten-free.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of, you know, on the brewing standpoint, what all ingredients go into making a traditional sour. And yeah, that's probably not the case. And so that's usually a miseducation of the servers and stuff like that. So, and you run into that from time to time, but, sure. You know, I'm willing to bet that, you know, there's when it comes to these styles of beers, if you go into Divine Science, I'm pretty sure the beer tenders have all kinds of knowledge and information loaded. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the beer tenders that work there because they're, you know, gluten intolerant, and they're like, man, I can go work at a place and get free beer, and it's beer I can actually drink. So, but yeah, this is cool. This is really cool. Like I'm kind of like this. I feel like this. So there's an older episode that we did with it was my old co-host Josh, and we did this thing with a company that makes the water profiles, the salts for brewing. And it was like one of those ones where it was like, yeah, normally we're at breweries and we're just like enjoying all these beers and we take tours and do all this stuff and it's cool. But the geeky like brewing science stuff is sometimes like interesting to me because that's kind of where I got that passion as far as brewing goes from Josh, my old co-host, because he liked that weird stuff. Like he liked to MacGyver beers. Like if he didn't have a certain type of, you know, grain, he would simulate a beer by mixing two different grains together or using a different type of hop or a different yeast, stuff like that. So the whole process of making gluten-free beer, it just intrigues me, and it's like geeky stuff. So I like talking about it. So I feel like a little kid today. You know, and like I said, I've never really seeked out these types of beers. Maybe I will in the future. And then, like I said, maybe I make a beer at my brewery. That way we have something to offer. Cause I'm really torn. Like, you know, Brandon always jokes with me about the whole seltzer thing, cause he knows I hate seltzers, and, it'd be really hard for me to like, want to do that. But, you know, as a business owner, like there's certain things that even if you don't like it, you still got to do it. Right. I mean, like look at Monkish. They said they would never, ever, ever, ever make an IPA, right? No, we're not doing none of that. And now that's their, like, that's their solid bread.
That's what they're known for. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
all they make, yeah, you know? Yeah. So, yeah. And in fact, if you go to the original Monkish location out in Torrance, they still have that sign that says, well, we won't make IPAs or whatever it says. And it cracks me up every time. But the science behind this whole world that you're launching, I think is really cool. And I think that our listeners will really get a lot out of this. And I really hope that even if you're not, you know, gluten intolerant, that you would give these beers a shot like we did and try them, because you're going to find that it's they're good. You know, it's like when you're like telling somebody that's a hardcore Pepsi drinker to try a Diet Pepsi. And they're like, no way in hell, right? And then they try it and they're like, you know, it's you know, got that aspartame taste. You know, I would say that the brewers have done a good job here, you know, especially for my beers. And Brandon says, you know, the Glutenberg beers are good too. Like, you know, they've done a good job trying to make these beers to where not only are they going to be good and safe for people that are gluten intolerant, but for normal beer drinkers, they could enjoy them too as well. Because like I said, I don't have any complaints here, for both of these beers.
Yeah. I think it's a really good comment to make. Cause I have some buddies here that I hang out with, play golf with, for example, that kind of chirp me for drinking, gluten reduced, gluten free beer. And I always like to kind of frame it up of, you know, well, if you have a beer that tastes really good, low ABV, you can kind of drink it as a session beer throughout the course and you're not going to be bloated afterwards like you would with a typical beer. Why wouldn't you just drink it? So it kind of goes back to the segue part earlier of that's kind of what we're pushing. I mean, obviously there's, while it's not always about the economics of things, some of these breweries don't realize that the market that they're not tapping into is there. I mean, and that's something that's kind of cool to show them, that as people are using the app and I'm able to show them metrics on who's checking into their, through our app to their brewery, it's kind of showing them that person might not have shown up to their brewery just because they didn't realize they had anything they could drink. So, but I have had a lot of friends that are not gluten intolerant that have started kind of drinking this type of beer, because like you just mentioned earlier, Justin, it's not going to bloat you up like a typical beer would.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm almost two beers in right now and I don't have any stomach issues. I'm chilling. Yeah. It's really good. Especially
I'm ready for a chug.
You know, I'm getting there. the funny thing is with hazies, you know, originally I was 100% dead set against them when, you know, they first started getting popular. And then I had a couple that I actually liked. And so then I started getting into them. And then of course everybody makes them, you know, we have some pretty famous hazy IPA breweries, you know, close to me where I live. Electric Brewing, which is one of the bigger ones that makes hazy IPAs. I really got into drinking their double and triple hazy IPAs, but man, you drink one and you're wrecked. Especially a triple, you know, except for one time I made the biggest mistake and I drank a 4-pack of triple IPAs from King's Brewing, not knowing they were triples. Cause you know, Jeremiah and his crew out there at King's, they do a really good job at blending and making things, really strong, but not taste really strong. And so I drank, it was the Falcon Heavy, I think it was called. And I crushed it thinking it was just a hazy IPA and there were triple hazy IPAs. I was hurting after that. We'll just leave it at that. But this right here, like if you want that flavor and that taste of a hazy, but you don't want that heavy feeling, this particle haze that Divine Science makes, here's the can so you guys can see it. It's got kind of like I hate that blurry thing. There it goes. Kind of almost like a comic character on there. I don't know. She kind of looks like Poison Ivy from Batman. Really cool can art here. And let's see what this says. There's actually a little thing on here. Let's see what it says. I'll read it to you guys. I'm going to guess this is something to do with a comic of some sort, but it says CERN physicists discovered that Higgs boson field by smashing subatomic particles into each other. Observing their short-lived interactions caused by these collisions, we discovered particle haze by smashing hops and malt together. A triple dry hop for maximum haze and aroma throughout intense hop and malt collisions. Always keep cold and drink fresh. I like that. 5.5%, in case you guys were wondering. So aroma wise, when you pop it open, smell the can, pour it out, you're thinking this is going to be like a 7-8% hazy IPA, but it only comes in at 5.5%. And you know, like we said, light drinking, easy drinking, but with a ton of flavor. So kind of crazy, because the first beer was more like just super light. It was like I'm drinking, you know, a dad beer, right? I'm out mowing the lawn, drinking that, crushing it, playing some golf, going fishing, you know, like my beer, which is our bread and butter, the Dad Bod beer. It's a blonde ale that's right around that same ABV, 5%, and super crushable and approachable and easy drinking. But to get a hazy type beer and have it around that same level is crazy. So great job to these guys.
Yeah. You said kind of like a Fly Jack, but a little bit better.
Yeah, Fly Jack, I would say just a little stronger and maybe more flavor, because Fly Jack, you get that like, I don't know if you've ever have you ever had it, Terrell? Fly Jack?
No, I haven't. Nope.
Okay, so it's Firestone Walker's like their like hazy IPA, but a light version. It's like 4.5% or something like that. But it definitely has the aroma profile of a hazy IPA, but when you drink it, very subtle flavor, and it's almost like you're drinking like a very like subtly hinted carbonated water almost.
Right. Kind of crazy. Muted or watered down a little bit.
You definitely feel like, where's my beer?
Right.
Whereas I don't feel that here, because I definitely it's beer, but it's not heavy. So it would be like a light version of a hazy IPA, I guess, but not as light as a Fly Jack. So For those of you looking for that flavor and that flavor profile, but you don't want the heaviness, I would suggest this beer for sure. For someone that's not even gluten intolerant, hey, you want that flavor? You wanna have that color, that look for your IG picture? Go ahead and try this Particle Haze from Divine Science.
Yeah, and you said you found them at BevMo, right? Like you didn't even have to go to the brewery, although of course you should if you can go to the brewery over getting it at a third party. But
absolutely, yeah,
that's cool that they're available at BevMo.
I knew that I had seen some at Sprouts, but I wanted to try to like do a little bit better, and I didn't have time to hit a bottle shop that I know of that probably would have had some selections. So there's a BevMo right by my real work. And I went in there and I was like, I was going to ask for help first. Cause I'm like, okay, like what am I looking for? And then I'm like, let's just look at the app and see what breweries are listed. And then I can just find those beers. But then all of a sudden I walked down the aisle and there was literally a banner that said gluten free. And I just went there and it was a whole entire row. It was like two floor to ceiling shelves. Granted, a lot of it was seltzers. But then there was like, I would say if it was a whole entire aisle, one shelf. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 shelves was full of beer of all different kinds. Like I said, Duckfoot was there because it's gluten friendly. And then I saw Glutenberg that had a whole entire shelf to themselves. The beer you're drinking was on the shelf. And then I think I saw a Stone beer.
Delicious.
Stone Delicious. And then, of course,
came out with a double IPA.
Really? A double? Wow.
Delicious. Awesome. Yeah. It's a gluten reduced one.
That's cool. I'll have to hit up our good friend, Christopher Martin of the show. He is one of our local Southwest reps from Stone, and hit him up about that because he likes geeky beer stuff. And I'm sure if I mentioned that to him, he never talk about it. I mean, we've had Stone on the show, so I wouldn't be surprised if we did have some gluten-friendly beers in the past and not even known it. But yeah, that's really cool to know. So like if you go into a BevMo, look for the gluten-free section, check it out. You'll see a bunch of different beers mixed in with the hard seltzers. And I highly will recommend Divine Science if you see it in your local stores for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't know that Stone did like gluten reduced or gluten free beer. That's really cool.
They're one of the kind of the pioneers of the gluten removed beers. Omission is kind of the one that stands out the most with folks. Omission was again one of the kind of the first like mass distributed nationally distributed beers that kind of put that badge on there that said gluten removed, but it still wasn't, you know, obviously gluten free. But they started with bottles and then they switched to cans, and they have an IPA, they have a light, they have several different types. So they actually have a wheat beer that's gluten reduced as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's almost like weird hearing that in the same sentence. A wheat beer, gluten reduced. But yeah. I mean, we know what process you can use to achieve that for sure. Let's see. We'll try to get some photos here for folks here. Yeah, that's funny. Wheat, gluten reduced beer. So really quick, I just want to shout out one of our sponsors, which is Beer Dad's Brew Works. Brandon wearing the hat there. I may or may not have something to do with that. Something that I have never used on the show and I've been wanting to because it keeps beers cold. You'll appreciate this, Terrell. So this is a cool little, I don't even know where I got this for Christmas one year, but it has a frozen ice pack in the middle and it holds six beers and it keeps them nice and cold. But in this cool little pack would be something from our sponsors. So I have here our brand new release. This is our second version of Father Figure IPA. This is out on shelves now, and so anybody listening to the show that needs to get this in their bottle shop or tap room, go hit up Beer Dad's Brew Works on Instagram, and our Hop and Vine distribution company will gladly get it for you. But this is similar to our our first version of the father figure. The difference is we have cryo hops in here. And it's a little stronger than our first father figure. So the first father figure came in at 6%. This comes in at 6.5%. But shout out to Beer Dad's Brew Works. I hear that one of the owners is a really cool guy. definitely check this out on the shelves, Father Figure IPA. This is our shout out to the dads out there. In this particular version, obviously for the football season, we got dad out there hitting it hard in the flag football.
I love the cargo shorts.
Got to have some cargo shorts, yeah. Man. It's all about being a dad. And I'm sure if you could see his shoes, they'd be rocking some New Balances right now. Just a quick dad joke for everybody that's on the can. Every can of Father Figure IPA comes with a free dad joke. And this one is, why did the football coach go to the bank?
It is quarterback.
That's right. He knew that one.
when you're your dad, you know all the dad jokes. Yeah.
You got to get the quarterback. So definitely cool. So West Coast IPA available out in stores now. Father Figure IPA, go find it. Beer Dad's Brew Works on Instagram. Go check those guys out. Tap room is opening shortly, but beer is distributed all over Southern California. All right.
That's awesome.
Had to get that out of my system, right?
Congrats.
What do they call it? The shameless plug, like they do on professional wrestling, shameless plug. So there you go.
You'd be in big trouble if you didn't say something.
Beat
you up or I don't know, break your legs or something. But yeah, that's awesome that the second IPA is out, man. I can't wait to try it.
Yeah, I'm really stoked for it. I've probably drank about two or three. I try not to drink too many of them because I want to sell them. they're really good, and we've had some good feedback already so far from people that have picked it up from the store. So I'm excited, and going forward, the vision for Father Figure is pretty much every sports season we're going to change the label and we're going to change the hops. Same grain bill, just different hops. So the only thing I was thinking about doing differently was for hockey season, I might do a cold IPA, even though I hate that term because it's not, we can call it something else like it used to be, like a hoppy lager. I think that'd be cool to do a cold IPA and do the hockey Father Figure, but we'll see what down the road, because we're gonna do hockey, we're gonna do basketball, and it'll rotate every sport season. We'll just change up the hops a little bit, maybe tweak the recipe here and there, but people can collect the cans and look forward to every sports season getting a different Father Figure IPA. So
yeah, that's cool, man. That's smart. Collecting the cans, just like collecting, cards and
yeah, man. Yeah. And we went for the whole retro card thing. So for those of the people out there that like sports cards, that's what we're all about. So
yeah.
And like I said, I think I'm going to have to make a gluten-free beer.
You are.
That way you can put my brewery on excluded.
Yes. Yeah. I'll save you a spot for sure. I'm excited for it.
You guys should do a collab. Like,
yeah, we could probably
do that. Brewwork and excluded.
We could probably figure something out. Yeah, for sure. Yep. Yeah. I like your logo, by the way. I'm always like, one of my things is, I don't know why, maybe because I'm old or something. Like, I like the simple logos. Like, sure. There's not a whole lot going on. It's not busy. And so when I saw your logo, I thought to myself, man, this is very like, it kind of reminds me of like the original, like Twitter, logo with just the T, we don't need the bird or anything like that. Yep. But you guys did a good job on that. Definitely eye-catching. So for people searching for it, it's very easy to find. So I think that you guys did a good job with the logo. Did you design it or did you have someone
else
do it?
Yeah, I did it myself. So yeah, we just wanted to go simple. I mean, we knew we were obviously chasing the beer scene, but wanted it to be more of an app tech, tech friendly. Trying to keep it as simple as possible. Wanted to be aesthetically pleasing on the app store and such, but a lot of people don't know it's kind of like it's an X sideways, but it's kind of like a pin drop, like on a map, like Google Maps. So obviously seeking for beer. I was just lucky enough to drop my app about, I don't know, 3 or 4 days before Elon Musk changed Twitter to X. So right. I was like, good God, you got to be kidding me. What are the odds of that? Right. But yeah.
That's funny. He just saw Excluded and he was like, man,
I think I was his inspiration on that.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's an awesome logo, and I think that it's really gonna it's gonna pop out to people, and you know, it's I think cool for the brewing industry, like to see, like I said, like I just envision, like you walk up to a brewery and you see that, like in the window you see, like, you know, just a, you know, maybe like a 3x3 type sticker or something, like right there in their window, and you know, like, okay, that means that they have some kind of gluten friendly or gluten free beer here at this brewery. And then, hey, I recognize that that's Excluded, right? So I think you did a good job, like on a marketing standpoint. I can always appreciate that, you know, obviously with my company and everything that sure. I've done between the brewery as well as the podcast, like and I've never had a job in marketing or anything before. I guess for whatever reason, maybe that's like a passion of mine and I really like it and enjoy it. So I can definitely appreciate the hard work that you put into that, because yeah, it's definitely eye-catching. And that's what they say, like when you take any like tutorials on like Adobe or anything like that, when they talk about logos and stuff like that, you know, they always talk about like simplicity and eye-catching and stuff like that is like kind of where you want to go, and you definitely hit the mark on that. Hit all the notes.
Simple but significant. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
So we've talked about the app, and everybody knows they can go to the Google Play Store and get on Apple and download it as well. And navigating through the app is super simple, right? When you load it, it asks your zip code and it automatically will set your radius on, you know, breweries close to you. Where do you see the app going in the future?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think really we're just continuing to listen to our customers. Like we're constantly sending messaging out, trying to get kind of a voice of customer approach, and trying to really build everything, what I call from the kind of the field back, from the user back, just so we don't have a unique idea of our own. So I think that's kind of where we're going right now. We have a lot of suggestions. I think one of the big things is kind of building out the brewery side more, the admin side of the brewery, allowing them to kind of see what the metrics look like, what the dashboard looks like, kind of where folks are checking in, what they're drinking. We have a feature now very similar to Untappd where you can not only check into the brewery that you're at, but you can also rate the beer that you're drinking. Nice. Send notifications to the brewery. So we're trying to kind of tap into that as well, for the lack of better terms, no pun intended there. You know, we're just trying to listen to our customers and kind of hear what they want next. The next thing we're going to launch is, it should be in the next few days from our development team, that when a new brewery gets added, because we're adding them all the time, you can set your parameters or your radius of when you want notified when a new brewery in your area is offering something.
Yeah.
Then it'll send you a notification through the app, letting you know that, hey, Beer Dads is now offering the gluten reduced, gluten free beer options that he's been promising on the podcast.
Yeah.
So going from there, and then naturally our progression, like we already talked about earlier, is definitely to go into the kind of the retail restaurant space. So I think our next step eventually is going to be in the restaurant space. The idea of going from the brewery side first, and this again, I've never done this before. We kind of jumped in into this endeavor personally, just wanting something for myself. But the idea was if we get the breweries on there and we could get them to load the beers and drinks and seltzers, I guess, too, that they are offering from a gluten-friendly perspective, we could follow those individual beers back to where they're being distributed to the restaurants on tap. And then we would be able to then tap into, again, sorry for the bad puns again, to the restaurants that are offering those beers. So we wanted to start with the brewery first, because in a sense, that's the manufacturer of the drink, and then we can kind of back ourselves into the retail side.
Awesome. I think those are some pretty good goals to advance the company and definitely grow to really get the message out for people that are seeking out these beers. And you know, maybe who knows, maybe you even add like a food element to it too. Like if it's a brewery that serves food, maybe they also offer a gluten free or gluten friendly type food. You know, like I remember they don't do it anymore, which is unfortunate because it really sucks. It was really good food. But Garage Brewing in Temecula, California, they used to have a pizza kitchen, very similar to like a Blaze Pizza, where it was like create your own pizza. And they always offered the gluten-free crust as well. So something like that, where you could say, hey, you can go here and not only are you going to find like a gluten-free beer or a gluten-friendly beer, but also they have food offerings that are gluten-friendly or gluten-free. I think that might be a cool element too, you know, cause we like to eat when we're drinking.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a good suggestion. And I think that's the one thing to remember is I think folks think that gluten-free is niche, and it is to an extent, cause it's very vertical. You're just focusing on a vertically integrated market, but that vertically integrated market is massive. It's in the billions of probably dollar spend a year, including the food part of it as well. We haven't tapped into that. Yes, of course. Yet, of course, but that is definitely something that can be a good segue into the food space.
Awesome. And so, Terrell, you know, we're talking about your app and stuff like that, but just a little bit about yourself, like your life, you know, obviously you said you're a dad and stuff like that. And so you're out in the Austin, Texas area. So tell us a little bit about Terrell, other than the excluded app.
Yeah, we'll exclude the beer part. Texas, born and raised. I'm actually from a very small town, North Texas, up in the panhandle. So when people from California say what is the panhandle, it is the handle of Texas at the top. So that's the panhandle. So my wife and I are both from there, born and raised. Ended up going to school in West Texas at Texas Tech. Started in the oil and gas space. Honestly, from the hometown I grew up in, oil and gas is kind of all we knew. That's the only reason the little town is there. It has a refinery, chemical plants, carbon black plants, you name it. So that's kind of all you know. So I kind of followed that path through the energy sector, the oil and gas and energy sector, not only through college, but also I started working for a startup in Dallas, lived there for about 13 years, and then actually got transferred down to Austin at the end of 2019, right before COVID hit, with another oil and gas and kind of energy startup in the tech space. That's, of course, what brought me from Dallas down to Austin. And then, of course, the world kind of flipped upside down in the beginning of 2020. And we ended up just kind of staying down here for the last three and a half years. But my whole career has been in the energy space. I have two kiddos, one 14, one 9, older girl. That's 14 and a younger boy that's 9. And really, when I'm not at work chasing kind of the energy space from a full-time perspective and working on the app, I'm usually chasing kids around or helping coach baseball or, you know, whatever it might be. So that's kind of my life outside of excluded.
Awesome. I like that. You know, definitely, obviously, you know, being a dad myself, I definitely appreciate, you know, balancing multiple hats and different things that you're doing. And I've always been told, and I'm sure you've heard this before, they're like, I don't know how you do it, man. Like you're doing so much, you know, you're talking about like coaching sports and, you know, doing, you know, creating the app and working a full-time job, you know, same for me. It's like a full-time job. I do this podcast. I opening a brewery. I've got a daughter that plays travel volleyball, 15, so close to your oldest daughter. And then I have two little ones that were the oopses that came along way far in life. So let me tell you something. I'm old, right? I'm 40 now, and I have my son just turned 5, and then my little one, she's 3, but she'll be 4 in February. So they're only 15 months apart. And let me tell you, that is nothing I recommend to anybody. Don't have them back to back. I know people like to get them out of the way, but oh my God. Well, I won't say don't have them back to back. Is don't have them back to back when you're like close to my age. Cause man, yeah, it's a lot of work for sure. Brandon knows. He's always like, I don't know how you do it, man. But so I definitely appreciate that. So, you know, as a hardworking dad, you know, kudos to you for being able to, you know, work and raise your family as well as do something that you're passionate about. I'm all about entrepreneurship. You know, my business partner, John with the brewery, he also owns a wine company. He just kind of told me a statement the other day, and I wish this for you as well. But he got this from Gary V, who's a very popular, you know, influencer and motivational speaker and obviously an investor. But he says that you're all millionaires, you just haven't been paid yet. So I really, you know, I take that to heart. So I definitely appreciate, you know, someone going out there and starting something like you did, like an app. I think that's really cool, really awesome. And I really truly believe in it because, you know, no, I don't have a gluten intolerance, but I can see the market for it. Because like I said, when I walk into BevMo and I see a whole entire row that says gluten free, I know, like, if this large, huge corporation like BevMo is going to invest in a whole aisle, there's a market for this. And for you to be the only app out there right now that people that have celiacs or different types of autoimmune things that they're dealing with, that they can go on here and still enjoy a lifestyle that they were used to. I think that's really cool. So kudos to you for starting something up like this for people. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you. That's awesome. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Just like making craft beer more accessible to people. Like, you made it more accessible to yourself by kind of, you know, finding these places that are serving, you know, gluten-free, gluten-reduced. Like, yeah, just thank you for what you're doing, you know, like that. Yeah. I think it's really awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. You're opening the eyes to everybody, because like I said, there's probably people out there right now that are telling themselves, I can't drink anymore, I can't have beer anymore.
Right.
And not knowing that the world of craft beer is so accessible to them, you know, now that you have this app that can tell people, hey, these breweries have 100% gluten-free beer, or these breweries have gluten-friendly beer. Right. Or, you know, like I said, you know, sometimes some of the beers are so, you know, below the threshold that technically could be called gluten free, but they can't because of legality purposes. Yeah. So you're definitely hitting, you know, all these people that are looking for something like that. So that's awesome. And I think it's really cool. And I think maybe one day we might explore something like, because what you're doing is great. And I think that there's like another market out there that's really huge too, which is the NA. Craft beers. And I've always teased about doing an April Fool's episode where we would have all NA beers. And I actually have a friend of mine in the beer industry that I met through Josh, my old co-host, who is a head brewer at an NA brewery. And so I've always teased that as an April Fool's episode. So maybe that's something we'll explore as well too, is like a, you know, NA episode as April Fool's. And then of course at the end, I'll chug a regular beer. but yeah, that's it's cool what you're doing. And I think this I don't even say that it's a niche market. I would say that it's a market. There is a market for this. I think that there are a lot of people. And I know you said you had what, 2,500 users. So yeah, far, I have a feeling that you're going to continue to grow. Hopefully this podcast episode might help you grow and get some downloads too. You know, because that's what we're all about. And that's why we do this. This has been a passion project of mine for the last 4 years. I think that, small businesses, entrepreneurs, really should be, spotlighted. And, you know, our audience is, I know the Beer Dad and Brewed podcast community is they like to come on, listen and enjoy the conversation and enjoy hearing about the beers and not have to deal with, like, you know, a lot of, and I don't knock other shows, so I never name any names, but a lot of times they have this like crazy, like, structure to their show, and they, you know, every 15 minutes they got to do some kind of commercial ad or whatever. And I've just never been about that. And I've always been about like free flow conversation and let's just spotlight people that need to be spotlighted, you know, especially during the pandemic. That's when we got really popular, was because we were spotlighting breweries that were really hurting because they were forced to close during the pandemic. And then all of a sudden they had to like readjust their business plan to do to-go beers. And, you know, some of them invested in canning lines, even though they didn't have the money at the time, but it really paid off in the end. But yeah, this is what this show's about, is just, you know, nice conversation and a beer share and no structure. We could talk about anything you want. And so that's what I love about this show, is we've had so many great people like yourself, and I'm really grateful to have met you and had you on the show for sure. Because this is something so unique. And as a brewer, as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, I appreciate everything that you're doing, you know, and welcome to the craft beer industry, because we need more uniqueness like this in the craft beer industry, because what you're doing is you're only helping breweries. You're helping breweries capture an audience that they probably wouldn't have had before. Because again, oh man, I've got this thing that my doctor told me I have now, and I just can't drink anymore. Right. And then it's like, oh wait, they actually make beer that's gluten-free, so I can drink it. So yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I appreciate those words. I think that that was kind of the whole thesis behind all of it, or the whole driving factor behind all of it, was supporting local. Definitely supporting local breweries. You're going to see that on our every one of our tags. There's definitely big national brands that you probably could order online or get from Bevco that that are nationally distributed and really large conglomerates. But I'm trying to drive the awareness that that brewery, you know, three blocks away down the street may have something you can drink. To pop in there, have some food, have a beer, support local. It's kind of what we're all about.
Awesome. Well, I think I'm going to chug a gluten-free beer. This is the first time on the Beer Dad and Brew podcast. Not that I've chugged, because we know that over the years on this show, there has been many chugs. But I'm going to chug this Divine Milsner. We'll see how this goes. See if the old man still has it. So also to note, this handy dandy, and again, I have no idea where it came from. Shout out to the Chargers. It still says San Diego.
That's a relic. It says San Diego still.
Yeah.
Look, it's brand new. Still got the tag on there, but it works great. So if you guys can see, like on the inside, it's got neoprene on the outside, but it's got a little frozen like cooler case, and you just
cool.
Cans or bottles, and it holds six of them. So you know it worked perfect for here, because this beer is still nice and cold.
I see some Beer Dad branded merch and coolers coming in the near future.
I might have to look into that. That's a good idea. All right. So I have never chugged a gluten-free beer in my life.
That you know of.
That I know of. I maybe I did. I don't know. We'll have to look at some past episodes. But this beer, the first beer that I had, this Divine Milsner beer, was just super easy drinking. It was crushable. This is like, again, this is your dad beer right here. This is your lawnmower beer, your boating beer, your fishing beer, sitting poolside. Here's a can right here. Good stuff. All right, Brandon, you might have to throw a drum roll in here or something. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
let's see if I'm ready for this. I don't know. It's kind of, it's like, it, you know how chugging really cold beer is never easy. So we'll see. But you know, usually I do pretty good at these things. So we'll see. All right. Here's a cheers to your app. Right. I think that you're going to be very successful, and I wish you nothing but great success with your app and with your entrepreneurship and growing the company and stuff like that. So cheers to that. Thank you again for being on the show. And I'm going to chug this. So let's see how this goes. Here I go.
We won't even know if you finish it or not.
Nice.
Very good.
Yeah, definitely a chuggable beer for sure.
Yeah.
Easy. Like I said, easy, super easy drinking. Really good flavor. Yeah, I like that. So cheers to that. So this is the portion in the show. We're going to end the show here. And you're going to meet our grandma. So, when you hear the show, you'll actually hear the ending when grandma makes her appearance, but, grandma's been hanging out in the background, waiting to make her appearance. So without any further ado, we're going to bring grandma onto the show. But again, everybody go out and check out Excluded, the app. It is available on Google Play Store as well as Apple apps. Download it now. Even if you're not, you know, gluten intolerant, just check it out, download it, see what kind of breweries are offering. Cause maybe you have a friend that didn't want to go brewery hopping with you before, but now that you know that because it was, they were gluten intolerant, you can say, hey, check this out. I got this app and it's called Excluded, and we can go to Duckfoot Brewing, cause they have gluten friendly beers. We can go to Divine Science in Tustin, California. There you go. There's the shout out, personal plug, and have gluten-free beers. So definitely download the app Excluded. Thanks again to Terrell for joining us and telling us all about the app and all the cool things that are going on. So check it out. Thanks for joining us, Terrell.
Thanks, guys. Here's
Grandma.
Appreciate it.
They also practice by drinking the urine of a ram.
The what?
They drink ram's piss.
Because of the pH balance?
No, because if you can drink ram's piss, fuck, you can drink almost anything.
She said fuck.
Is the malted liquor what gets you drunk or quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer.
Can't get enough of it.
Beer.
How we really love it.
Beer.
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer.
I could kiss and hug it,
beer.
But I'd rather chug it.
Beer.
Cut my belly out to here.
Beer.
I could not refuse it.
Beer.
I could really use a
beer.
Beer. Beer.
Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer.
I can't remember how much I have had. I drank a 12-pack with my dad.